Welcome, and thanks for tuning in to the Sunday morning message at Bayleaf Baptist Church. Bayleaf Baptist Church is under the leadership of Pastor Marty Jackman. Our Sunday morning services meet at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock a.m. Join us now as we dive into God's Word.
Take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Philemon. As we are, as we're turning there, choir, I was just thinking, you know, that's kind of the tough news, but also the great news. Our only hope for tomorrow is Christ. So that kind of maybe sounds like a negative statement, doesn't it? Like our only hope is Jesus. But you know, the good news is that's the only hope we need. The only hope we need is Christ. So, hey, that's a win-win deal for sure. I've been so encouraged, and we're going to close out the book of Philemon, our series this morning. Three messages in this one chapter book that we've been going through. The first dealt with the heart of forgiveness. As Paul looked, he kind of described who Philemon was, and he said, I know, he's even going to hit on this a little bit today, I know I can reach out to you. I know that I can ask you to forgive this one who has hurt you in such a bad way. Then last week we looked at the act of forgiveness, how forgiveness is more than just a feeling, it's more than a thought, but forgiveness is action. And today we're going to look at why forgive. We're just gonna kind of close this out and try to answer that question. Is it really important that I forgive? Yeah, I've heard testimonies over the last few weeks of how God has really used these messages to kind of push people, to nudge people to go and either give forgiveness or seek forgiveness from someone that's either hurt them or they have hurt. I heard a testimony this morning after the first service. It was a gentleman came to me, and this would be a good test for us here. And he said, you know, Marty, I really, the first message you brought and even the second message, I didn't think forgiveness was an issue with me. I mean, I really thought, well, I don't have anybody I need to forgive. So I was trying to learn from it. And I happened to mention that to my wife. I said something like the statement, like, well, I'm sure glad I don't deal with bitterness. And she said, she looked at me and said, what? Said, do you realize every time, and she mentioned a family member's name, extended family, that you mentioned their name, I mean, it's like just fire gets in your eyes when you talk about them and what they've done and what they haven't done. They're just, and honey, whether or not you see it or not, well, there's some issues there that you need to deal with. And here's what he said. He said, so this past week, I reached out to that person and I asked him to forgive me for the bitterness I had held against them, the anger that I had had. And it was a beautiful picture of restoration, a beautiful picture of forgiveness and how it's now, and it's really extended into our family. So, you know, maybe that's a good test for us. If you think, well, I don't deal with, I'm not angry toward anybody, I'm not bitter toward anybody. Your spouse, ask them if they would agree with that statement. Okay, because oftentimes they will see it when we're too blind to see it. So maybe that's your homework for this week, to ask one another, is this something I need to deal with? And the reason it's so important, that I believe we ought to study and teach on and to live out forgiveness, is because it's important to God. God has given us an entire book, the book of Philemon. It's a book that deals, it's really so pretty. It talks about forgiveness, but it talks about ultimately the forgiveness that we have in Christ. If you weren't here last week, it's like I said, Philemon is not the hero of the book of Philemon. Paul is not the hero. Onesimus, the runaway slave, is certainly not the hero. Jesus Christ is the hero of Philemon because we understand the forgiveness that we have, that the choir sang about, that we sang about, the forgiveness that we have in him. So I'm going to back up. I'm going to begin in verse 18. Now, if you hadn't found Philemon, one of the people before the first service said, I'm hoping by this third message I'll be able to find the book of Philemon. The problem is, it's probably on one page in your Bible, so don't overlook it, right between Titus and Hebrews, so I hope that you have found it. I'm going to back up and read verse 18 just to kind of help us set the context, as Paul's going to conclude this letter where he is asking Philemon, a church elder, to forgive someone who had run away, a slave that had run away, but who had come in contact with Paul in Rome. Paul's now in prison, but Paul had led this runaway slave to faith in Christ, and he's sending him back, and he's sending him with a letter saying, would you forgive this one who's wronged you? It says in verse 18, and if he has wronged you in any way, well, we know the answer to that. Yes, he had. He had stolen from him. He had run away. Then he goes on to the monetary, or owes you anything. The answer is yes, he did. He says, charge it to my account. I, Paul, write this with my own hand. I will repay it. Now, why would he put that in there? You know, I think scholars say it was part of the promise that he is making. You know, Paul, because he had terrible eyesight, is Paul would often use someone to write. He would dictate a letter and someone would write it. I believe here he's saying, listen, someone else is not making you this promise for me. I'm writing it with my own hand. I promise that when I see you, I will repay anything that he owes you. But then same verse, we kind of see a switch here. He says, not to mention that you owe me even your very self. Yes, brother, may I benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Since I am confident of your obedience, I'm writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. Meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, since I hope that through your prayers, I will be restored to you. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings, and so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my co-workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Today, probably not an exhaustive list, but really, if we sense the question, why is it important that I forgive someone, that I offer forgiveness to someone who has wronged me? We're going to seek to answer that question today. The first thing I'll say is this: when we offer forgiveness, when we forgive others, we recognize our own unpayable debt. We recognize our own unpayable debt. In verse 19, he's saying, if he has owed you anything, if he has wronged you, I will repay it. But then we see Paul, Danny Akin calls it his arm twist here. He says to Philemon, he goes, you know, you owe me your very self. Now, what does he mean by that? You know, is Paul somehow taking credit for Philemon's salvation? He shared the gospel with Philemon. We certainly don't use that language. Like, if I was preaching and you came to faith in Christ, I wouldn't say, well, Billy, I saved you that night I preached. No, we don't use that language because we know that while we may share the gospel, it's ultimately Christ who saves an individual. So I think we ought to thank those who bring us the gospel. I actually went on a mission one time to try to find the person who was preaching August of 1977 at Camp Caraway. I've been to the spot. I've been there, but I can't find, nobody remembers who it was preaching that night where God was doing a work in my life. I knew I needed to trust him as Savior. I gave Christ my life. I would love to be able to thank the individual that was preaching the night I gave my life to Christ. But I know ultimately he was not the one who saved me. He was the one faithful with the message. But all the honor and all the glory for salvation goes to God because God is the one that saves. So he's not saying you owe me yourself. He's saying I simply brought you the gospel. But just as there is a debt here that Onesimus cannot pay, he is reminding Philemon, there was once a debt you owed that you couldn't pay. That was the debt of sin. And there's no way you could have bought salvation, you couldn't have earned it, but Christ freely gave it. So I'm simply asking you to live out the gospel by offering the forgiveness of an unpayable debt, just as Christ gave you forgiveness on the unpayable debt that you have. Matter of fact, I want to show you why I know that is the heart of Paul. Because if we would turn back, I don't often ask you to do this, but turn back to the book of Ephesians. Just a couple books here. After you go through 1 Timothy and Thessalonians and Philippians, you'll come to Colossians, Philippians, you'll come to Ephesians. You ought to mark this Bible, this Bible verse. And it's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7. Because Paul does a beautiful job of here understanding the debt that we owe that we couldn't pay, but what Christ did for us. Ephesians 1, verse 7. He starts out, in Him. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace. So it's saying salvation here, it's His righteousness, it's His grace, it's His mercy. The only thing we bring to the table is our transgression. So Paul certainly understood that Philemon didn't owe him for his salvation, but he's reminding him, I simply brought you the message, and you, through the grace of God, were given forgiveness. So he's now simply asking Philemon, would you live out the grace and forgiveness that you have received from Christ? So why do we forgive? Because we've been forgiven. Why do we forgive? Because the power of the gospel. It shows that we have been forgiven of a debt that we could not have. Matter of fact, Jesus, I love how in Matthew he gives the parable of a king who forgave one who owed him an amount that could never be repaid. He could never have repaid this amount. So the king would have had every right to imprison him. But the king forgave him. And then it says the one who had been forgiven would not forgive another a small amount, but yet had him beaten and had him thrown in chains. That's a picture of our lives when we won't forgive. That's a picture of our lives, because you realize most of the stuff we're angry about, we're bitter about, we're unforgiving about 2 seconds after we leave this earth, it won't matter. It won't amount to a hill of beans. I don't even know what that saying means. My grandfather used to say it, but it won't amount to a hill of beans. But yet, God has forgiven us our sins that will matter for an eternity. So if He's willing to forgive us, how much more should we be willing to forgive someone who's wronged us because of the unpayable debt that we couldn't pay? The second thing is, when we forgive, we serve as a blessing to others. And it's even more than serving as a blessing. When we forgive, we offer a powerful testimony of how great the gospel is, how strong the gospel is, and how it speaks to a world beyond these walls. Let's continue. Look at verse 20. Now, before I read verse 20 again, Paul has already said back in verse 7, Philemon, you're such a blessing to the church that meets in your house. Notice what he says, and I better go back to Philemon here. I was still in Ephesians. He says in verse 20, yes, brother, may I benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. He's sitting there saying that, you know what, I need this good news. You know, I can imagine the life of the Apostle Paul, the different times when people who proclaimed Christ had let him down. And now he's in chains. He's in prison in Rome. So he's saying, hey, would you be a blessing to me by letting me know that you have forgiven this one that has been changed by the gospel? That you're going to use him because I know that God has a plan for his life. I was reminded that the church father Ignatius, just 50 years later, would be writing about a church in Colossae, and there's an elder. We don't know that it's the same person, named Onesimus, that God was using in a powerful way in this church. We don't know that it's the same person. But what a testimony Paul understood it would be to the believers there if you would model this forgiveness, and it would be a blessing to Paul. See, I see that within the body of Christ. I remember in college ministry almost 20 years ago, there were two, and they were really leaders in our college ministry, that had kind of come to an impasse. There was division between them about something that was done. And here's what I've learned inside the body of Christ. Division will very seldom stay between two people. Because here's what we love to do. We love to go to someone else and get them on our side. We love to kind of build factions there because we want to prove that we are correct. And what I saw happening is you would think, well, it was just a division between two people, but they were leaders. And all of a sudden, I saw that division begin to spread among the whole college group, how sides were being formed. Well, then I found out that it even extended to their families, and it was affecting other groups in our body. And it all started between two people who would not offer forgiveness to one another. But I also saw very quickly how when they did come together and they did reconcile and they forgave one another, how that also spread out into the group and beyond, because they saw the power of the gospel, the power of forgiveness, and they were reminded about their forgiveness in Christ. But I also said it speaks to a testimony. See, I think it speaks to a world beyond these walls that so often thinks of forgiveness as weakness. They think, well, if I forgive someone, I'm showing weakness. I'm going to make it sound like it's not important. And it can be a powerful testimony. Matter of fact, recently, my dad and I were talking about my mom used to love the evening soap operas. You know, there was like the three big ones. Remember Dallas? And then Falcon Crest and Dynasty. Those were the big, I mean, folks, growing up, we only got four channels. So, I mean, so it wasn't like we only had one TV. It wasn't like you all went to your separate rooms to watch TV. And what I was laughing about, all three of these shows were built off rivalries where there was unforgiveness. It went back generations so often. So what's come is now there is a world out there that thinks forgiveness is not important. But yet when we forgive, it's not only a blessing to the person. Because what I found out is oftentimes the person that feels the worst is the one who has done something to hurt someone, because God works on our conscience. It's how the Spirit of God works, drawing us to repentance. And so when we're able to look, and if you've ever wronged someone, as I have, and you hear the person say to you, "I forgive you," you know what an encouragement that can be. But it also brings healing outside of the two people, and it even is a testimony into the world. That's why it's important. It's important, and we shouldn't overlook it, because the world is watching us. And when two believers cannot forgive one another, then what it says to the world is that forgiveness is not that important, but yet we preach a gospel that is based on the forgiveness of God. So it is important. So when we forgive, we acknowledge our own unpayable debt. We seek to be a blessing and a testimony to others and to the world. And the third thing is, when we forgive, and it may come down to this being the only reason you have to forgive, is when we forgive, we act in obedience. Verse 21, Paul says, "Since I am confident," again, he knew the nature of Philemon. Since I am confident of your obedience, I'm writing to you, knowing that you will do even more than I say. You say, well, is forgiveness important to God? Well, we've said he devoted an entire book of the 66 books. This book deals with forgiveness. It's how he brings about reconciliation between God and man, and that is the forgiveness of sins. It was important enough that when the disciples came, his followers said, Lord, teach us to pray. Part of the Lord's Prayer is, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. So time and time in Scripture, we're told, wait a minute, this is a big deal. But yet so often, and this is what happens in my life, especially if there's distance, and I think, well, wait a minute, you know what? That person's out there living their life. I'm here living my life. You know what? We don't have contact. We don't meet. We don't talk. I'll just let them stay there, and I'll stay here, and we'll pretend it never happened. That's so often how we deal with problems that arise. We just pretend they're not there and don't deal with it. So why is it important? It's important because God told us to forgive. And when we are unwilling to forgive someone who has wronged us, church, hear me, it's sin. And sin affects our relationship with God. Will it take away our salvation? No. But it hinders our fellowship. And one day we will give an account for unconfessed sin in our life, sin that hasn't been dealt with. And one day many of us will stand before our Creator and have to give an account for the lack of forgiveness and the bitterness and anger that we have held on to in our lives. Because God says, if you want to be obedient to me, you will forgive those who have wronged you. It says, if we want to experience and live in that forgiveness, we must be willing to forgive others. Now, I said in the first message, you know, the parental trump card is this, because I said so. Sometimes that's the only reason you can give your child to do something or not do something, is it all comes down to because I said so. So it could be the only reason that you have to forgive someone is because God said so. Because he has said that that's how we live out the gospel. The power of the gospel is that one of those ways is that we are willing to forgive others. You say, Pastor, that's hard. You're right, it's hard. That's why I said last week, it's more than a feeling. It's more than an emotion. It's an action. As someone said, we all love Pauline theology, but we don't want to experience Pauline pain. And it can be painful when we have to go through the reconciliation process, but God has told us to do so. You know, I heard a powerful testimony this week, I guess because of, you know, Memorial Day. And, you know, a name that you possibly have never heard of when it comes to a spiritual awakening or a spiritual movement in a land is the name Peggy Koval. And I heard her story. Peggy Koval was a young woman in the early 1940s. She was a teenager, and her parents were missionaries in the Philippines. And when the Japanese invaded the Philippines, they were found. And they were actually found with a small transistor radio, and they were given kind of a mock trial. They were held. They were charged with being spies for the United States, and instead of being released, they were actually taken out, and they were beheaded. So Peggy Koval lost her mom and her dad to the invasion of the Japanese forces. And she was very angry, as we could only imagine, very bitter. But she knew that God began to work on her heart, saying, you need to forgive, just as I have forgiven you. So she did what so often we would do. She said, okay, I forgive them. I forgive them. But God was wanting more. Because God, she didn't mean that. It's so easy to say you forgive someone, But again, it's an action. So she was told about an opportunity to go just on the border of Colorado. There was actually a POW camp where captured Japanese soldiers were brought and held. And she was given an opportunity to go there and serve. And she wrote how difficult it was to go, and she would take magazines or take food or offer care to these captured soldiers. She said, well, what would be in my mind was, wait a minute, what if you were the one? What if you were the one that killed my mom or my dad? Or what if you knew the person that killed my mom or dad? So she said it was just such an intense process where every day she had to live out the power of the gospel by forgiving these individuals that she saw as the one who had taken away everything from her. But she said through the power of Christ, she was able to offer that care time and time again and put the anger and bitterness behind her and offer forgiveness through the power of Christ. Well, as the war had ended, God was doing the work in a man's life in Japan. The man's life was Mitsu Fushida. Mitsu Fushida had been the Japanese officer that had led the attack at Pearl Harbor. He had been one who just God was dealing in his life, and he felt such great remorse for the lives that he had ended. But his soldiers began to come back to Japan. They were telling the story of an American woman who, even though her parents had been killed, had offered forgiveness and kindness to them. Well, Mitsu Fushida said he had to find out why. How was one able to forgive the people who had taken so much away? Then he heard her testimony that it was the power of Jesus Christ. It was on hearing that testimony, him needing forgiveness for the pain that he had given, for the lives that he had ended, he called out to Jesus Christ, was miraculously saved by grace through faith, began to share with others in Japan the experience or the forgiveness that he knew he had in Christ. And it said many came to faith in Christ through the testimony of this officer that said, I've experienced the forgiveness of God. And it all started with this one young girl willing to live out the power of the gospel by forgiving those who had hurt her. So don't say it's not important. Don't pretend it's not there. Don't try to just brush it aside. If you know there is someone you need to forgive, then it could be only because God says to, but you recognize the debt he paid for you. You recognize the testimony that it can be, and you offer that forgiveness. Or you go to the person that you need to experience their forgiveness. Because it is important. It's important to God, and it should be important to us. Let's pray together.
Thank you for listening. We hope your heart was blessed and encouraged by today's message. For more information on the ministries at Bayleaf Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.bayleaf.org or give us a call, 919-847-4477. Thanks again and have a blessed day.